KVLX, mobile, monitoring.
Good afternoon, KV4CVA.
I sound funny today because I got a dental thing in my mouth. Yesterday, I went to have my tooth checked. I thought it was going to be a root canal. Turned out to be a full extraction. Nice.
Well, that just sounds like more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
3 hours with the oral surgeon, and over the 3 hours, I heard her ask for the impactor. That was interesting. And then she asked for the bone saw. That was even more interesting.
Sledgehammer.
The actor was basically one of those jackhammers that fit in your mouth.
Had a crown put on. They used to. Now my wife just had one done, and they do it all. Right there in the office, and you don't have to come back. So you don't get a temporary crown and have to come back and then get it taken off and have the permanent crown put on. They just do the whole procedure right there in the office, which is really nice. But years ago, I had one. He put on a temporary, and it came off, so he glued it back on. He must have really glued it. And so you couldn't get it off, and he had this little slide hammer thing, and it's the same kind of thing that a body shop would use to pull a dent out of a car. It's just on a smaller scale, and he hooked that thing under my tooth and started pulling on it, and it has a weight on it, and then it stops, and when the weight stops, that's when you get the jerk, the impact that's supposed to, break it free. Well, it didn't. And he said, if I keep doing this, I might do some damage here. So he stopped using that thing.
Yep. Then he had to grind it off.
He gave me this thing. It looked like a little ball of gum. Or a little, it was like a, it looked like gum, but it was in a round shape with flat ends, like a cylinder. And he stuck that on between my temporary crown, and he said, now bite down on it. So I did. And he said, okay, whenever you're ready, he said, open your mouth. Well, man, that thing stuck, and I could not open my mouth. And boy, the adrenaline hit. And when that adrenaline hit, I opened my mouth, and it jerked that crown right off. So, I guess your jaw has a good bit of leverage. And with the adrenaline, it only took one off.
Oh, I gotta say, I took that thing out of my mouth temporarily. I had it out for a few hours, and now I just can't take having it in. It costs as much as a really nice mobile rig, and I hate it. I really wish I had money for a really nice mobile rig that I could hate.
Excuse me. One that you could hate, huh? That's funny. Oh, Lordy. Well, I'm just sitting here looking. I'm getting ready to solder a couple of PL259s on the end of these coax here. And it's, I bought this from the Wireman. It even says right here, certified quality from the Wireman. But one of the, I don't know if you've ever done one of these, but this is RGT, 58 cable, so it's a smaller cable, like you're using a mobile rig or something. And you have to put this adapter, or they encourage you to put this little adapter thing that slides over it and screws into the back of the coax connector, and this thing will not go over the wire. And I looked at the other one, and this one's just a teeny bit smaller in diameter, and it will only fit in one of the PL259s. It won't screw into the other one. The thread's different. It's just totally weird. I've never run into that before.
I gotta take this out again. It doesn't screw into the back of the PL259?
Screws into the back of the PL259, and then that big sleeve, you know, slides over it, and then that's the sleeve that screws onto the radio itself. And so this is just a reducer that you would use, you know, if you're not using the big coax.
Yeah, it's for the 58 or the 50. There's one size that fits the RG8X and the 5859. But the RG8X is a little smaller than the 5859, whichever one you're using. So I'm just wondering if that reducer is made for the 8X.
It won't even, I've got, like I said, I got two PL259s. It won't even screw into the other one. It starts in and then it locks up, so I know that the thread's different. So, as long as I don't get it mixed up, but what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to put this in my vise and take a drill bit and drill it out just a little bit. And you get the diameter bigger so it'll slide over this coax.
Usually when a car hits another one from behind, the car that does the hitting usually takes the brunt. But I've just seen the exception. That's when an F-150 hits the back of an Impala. That Impala, the whole trunk is in the back of the front seat.
Well, it weighs a good bit more, and he had his foot on the brake. The Impala had his foot on the brake, and that didn't help matters. The best thing you can do if you know you're going to get rear-ended is to take your foot off the brake, and it lessens the impact.
Reverse
and floor it.
Once the company laid me off, and I was kind of ticked, so I wasn't going fast. I made sure I was going 20 or 18, but I slid it into reverse to see what would happen. I was pretty disappointed.
And this is KB4CBA. Years ago I had a 63 Bel Air, and it had the two-speed Power Glide automatic transmission. The neat thing about those transmissions being automatic, the hydraulic pump was on the tail shaft at the drive shaft, so if you had a dead battery, or it wouldn't start the car, if you could get it rolling at about 25 miles an hour, you could turn the key on and drop it down into low, and the transmission would turn the engine over and start the car.
I haven't been able to do that since I got rid of the standard transmission that I had a few years back. But then I never really had the need to start the car that way, because usually I kept my battery's good. But I remember doing that when I was a kid.
So, when I sold that car, the battery was getting weak, and it came out of a junkyard. I was actually a Morrisville college student, and I didn't have any money, and I went to a junkyard. I knew the guy. Well, it was the dad of one of my friends there, one of the students there, and he was just a great guy. And he sold me the battery for like $8, and it got me all the rest of the way through college. And then when I got ready to sell it, it went dead. And so I lived on the street that went down beside our house was a hill, and it would barely get up to 25 miles an hour, but it would get going fast enough, and you could roll start it. And I've done that several times.
That you took it back and wanted your money back.
A battery lasts longer than some new batteries last. I sold that car with that battery in it. I think we had to jump it off but I sold that car for like $125. That was stupid, but anyway, that was back in 1978, somewhere around in there, probably 78.
Energy crisis.
All I can remember, I never checked the miles per gallon, but I just knew that it would take me $3 of gas to get home from Mars Hill. So I had to have $3, and sometimes that's all I had. I mean, I didn't have a lot of money when I was in college. And I would stop at this gas station in Weaverville because it was cheaper than the one at Mars Hill. And I would put $3 worth of gas in it, and it would get me home. And then I could, I could go to the bank and write a check. Back then, you didn't have ATMs. I go to the bank, write a check for whatever amount, probably $20, and that would last me, month. And that's how you did it back then, because I didn't have, credit cards came out sometime in the late 60s, I think. Early 70s. My dad was, he was over MasterCard for People's National Bank when they came out with MasterCard.
Deal then. My dad for years had one credit card for the Diners Club. Going back into the 70s, he had this Diners Club, or 60s, whatever it was. That's back when having a credit card was a big deal. That and a calculator that would add and subtract and multiply and divide.
Stuff back then. Oh, man, technology's come a long way since then. I've got I think I paid like $22 for it. I got a calculator that it'll do trigonometry for you, and I bought it to study for the extra test. There's some math questions in there. You have to know the formula, but if you know the formula, then you can enter the numbers, and you have to know the sequence and all that. And how to operate the calculator, because it's not your typical calculator, but But for $22, it would do trig for you. And I never took trigonometry because I was a music major, so I wasn't required to take it. I was pretty good at math, though. But anyway, so I still have that thing. I don't even know where it is. I need to find that thing.
You did pass the exam, right?
So now to answer that question, I never took it. I did the sample test you could take on the ARRL website, and they have, I think, 20-something different tests that they can give you. So there's no way of knowing what you're going to get. And there's 700, it's over 700 questions. And I went to class and studied, but I just couldn't get it. I just could not get it. So I never took the test because I couldn't score high enough to pass.
I bet you could do it. I passed it last June, July, whatever it was. Got my extra finally. But I took it. I had to take it when I took it because everything I had was the old test set. Now they got the new test set out, or the question set. But I used an online thing my brother-in-law turned me on to, hamtestonline.com. Man, you go on to that thing enough, you'll memorize every freaking question.
Okay, well, I'll look at that. I don't think I've looked at that website. But I watched all the videos. I watched the Dave Kassler videos and that they suggested. And I would take the test. And what I would do is write down the questions I missed and work on those. I figured, well, you know, I can answer this set of questions, so why repeat those? I just need to work on the ones I can't answer correctly. And I just finally just gave up on it. If I had kept up with that, I think I'm sure I could have passed it, but I don't know. It just wore me out. And I finally just gave up on it.
Oh, I never said this. N6CLX variety. The ham test online is cool because it can you can ask it to send you every question or a sample store or just every question that you score the worst on. It's really intuitive and smart and you can even turn off the math. You say, just don't give me any math questions because it predicts that what you do know if you're going to pass or not, even though you get zero on all the math questions.
Yeah, they told us in class that the most you'd get was probably 3 or 4 math questions. It's a 50 question test, and I do have the latest issue book. I got that from Gary Whiskey. What's his call? Whiskey 4 Echo Yankee. And so I picked that up from him. And so I'm ready to go. I just need to get motivated.
Thing made it fun because it tracks you on an individual scale, but then you can also track yourself against everyone else taking the test, and you can get yourself a rating. So the more times you take the test and the better you do, the higher you get in your rating, and you know, and kind of make a competition out of it. And that way, I don't know. Just keeps it interesting.
I hear a bird dog barking there in the background.
Yeah, it's my my parrot.
That was. Oh man. Well, I got pulled over in my Mustang in a construction zone on 85. This has been probably a year ago, and it's still a construction zone. But anyway, I was probably doing 70. I honestly don't know because I didn't have the cruise on. But I know I was doing at least 70. I might have been doing a little more than that, and it's a 55 zone. And it's a construction zone, so you're supposed to get a pretty hefty fine. This is before they went up the $5,000 on the fines. And I pulled in the parking lot. Got ready to pull in the parking lot, the restaurant I was going to, and I looked up my rearview mirror and I saw blue lights, and I went, oh crap. So I just went ahead and went across the street into the parking lot and parked, and of course he pulled in behind me, but he was the nicest guy, he wound up giving me a warning. He said, here's your warning. And he said, you have a nice day, and that's all he said. He was just as friendly as he could be.
Great time. The last ticket I got was a state trooper down in Louisiana. He is telling me that I really appreciate your attitude and how you're taking this. And a guy went by and revved his engine, and he looked at me. You think he did it on purpose? I said, I think he did. Man, I really appreciate your attitude. It's great. I said, well, you know how you can show your appreciation? You can give me a warning. And he says, no, sir, can't do.
Oh, me. Well, I tell you, I've had my share, but it's been 3-4. Gosh, it's been more than that. It's probably been 5 or 6 years since I got the ticket. So, I try to drive in such a way that doesn't draw attention to myself. So, even though I'm driving a Mustang GT with 420 horsepower, it's a lot of fun. But when I worked for the county, if I had my uniform on, I remember one morning I was going to work. I was going up 385. I was doing 75, and speed on it's 55. And he was parked on the side of the road, and I was coming around a curve, so I couldn't see him. And as soon as I saw him, he hit his blue light, so I knew it was for me. So I just pulled over in front of him, and he had to roll up about a car length, and there was no chase. And at the end of it all, after he checked my license and all that, he walked up and said, so where are you going, Mr. Cole, in such a hurry? And I said, well, I'm just trying to get to work. And he said, 75 and 55, have a nice day.
That's funny. I turn this thing on mainly just to, you know, everyone jams their brakes on, so it gives me warning that the dummies in front of me are going to jam their brakes on. I'm not usually going really that fast. I'm in a 4x4 Jeep Cherokee. If I went that fast, I couldn't afford the ticket because I'd be paying for a lot of gas.
We used to have an old 95 Jeep Grand Cherokee that had the V8 in it, and I think it's a 318. And it was full-time, four-wheel drive, and boy, that thing was nice. It developed a real bad oil leak. And I'm pretty sure, being a mechanic, I looked underneath, and I could tell it wasn't coming from underneath. And the distributor was right up against the firewall, and the firewall kind of curved over it, and you practically had to pull the engine out to get the distributor out. I'm pretty sure the O-ring had gone on the distributor. Either that or the back of the intake was leaking, one of the two, I don't know. But anyway, so I never fixed the oil leak, we sold it. But I had to put, it got so bad, I had to put one of those flat metal pans under it so that you, you can get it out of zone and places like that, just to keep the garage clean, garage floor clean where it sat, because it left a nice puddle. I had to keep an eye on the oil, you know, the oil level and all that, but other than that, it was a nice vehicle.
Locking on plastic right now. That's a keep putting the thing back in, and then I go to Todd. Well, I'm going to let you go back to your PL-259 and the unknown there. And I'm going to put down my antenna and pull in the garage. And start my weekend. Dave, you have a good weekend.
Man, well, I hope you do. And I'll be playing tennis in the morning. And I need to cut the grass. I'll probably cut the grass tomorrow evening. I'll wait until almost dark to cut it, because it'll be the probably the coolest part of the day. And I need to work on my motorcycle. I need to work on my car, so I got plenty to do. 70 trees, and enjoyed riding home with you. KB4CBA, clear after yours.
KB4CBA and 6CLX. Yeah, thanks for the company home, and I'll talk to you, I guess, next weekend, unless I'm out and about in this thing this weekend. N6CLX, I'm clear.